Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
You have your Bibles tonight, Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2, probably some of my most favorite scripture. I just love this these verses so much. It just gives you insight to the God that we serve. The psalmist said, I love the Lord. I love the Lord, but I love him because he first loved me. That's what the scripture says, but I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication. And because he has inclined his ear unto me, that means God has given you his ear. You've heard that phrase. Somebody said, lend me your ear. I'm giving you my ear. So in other words, I said, I'm listening to you. And I'm not just listening, but I'm taking stock of what you're saying. So, because God has inclined his ear unto me, therefore, for this reason, I will call upon him as long as I live. Tonight, for a few moments on this thought, I'd like to talk to you. Influence with God. Influence with God. Let's pray together for the teaching of the word tonight. Jesus, we love you and honor you in this house tonight. You're so precious to us, and we thank you for the many benefits that you load us with daily. Thank you for these people here tonight. Bless our hearts and minds to receive your word, to hear what the Spirit would say. Encourage us, strengthen us, challenge us, correct us, whatever it takes tonight, God. Let us be more like you. Let us be ready when you come. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Clap your hands one more time for the word of God tonight. Hallelujah. Give him praise and you may be seated. Thank you for being here tonight. Influence with God. In church, there's a lot of things that we have access to. And I think about the many things we see in service oftentimes. Praise is powerful. There's nothing like a church that will lift their voice like a trumpet and praise God. We see multiple examples in Scripture where praise was a weapon for God's people. They would go out with singers and musicians and they would praise God in the beauty of holiness, and God would fight their battles. And we know that they would praise God and walls would fall down. And even the scripture says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise, that you might steal the avenger. And so we realize that praise is powerful, and that's something God has given us. He inhabits the praises of his people. And so if he, who never changes, inhabits our praises, when we start praising, you're going to get this God of mercy, this God of love, this God of long-suffering, this God of grace, this God that Scripture says he is a man of war. So you get a lot of things when you start praising God. You can praise God in your sorrow, and the Prince of Peace will show up there. So it's wonderful, these things. Worship, we know that true worship, as they were singing tonight, reminds us of Isaiah, where the worshipers were lifting their voices and worshiping God, and holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And it said, and the post of the door moved. The atmosphere began to change with the voice of those that worship God. And worship is a keeper. It focuses you on him for who he is, not for what he's done. Abraham said when he was going to take Isaac to the mount to sacrifice him that he was simply going up to worship, because he knew who God was and he knew what God could do, and that even God could raise his son from the dead if he went through. So worship is a keeper. It'll bring you back from these very tough, hard situations. But One of the most powerful things that God gives us is access to Him. You know, we could praise and He inhabits that, but if He didn't give us access, He would show up and nothing would happen. Worship would just be there proclaiming truthfully who He is, but that doesn't necessarily indicate access. But prayer is access to God. Prayer is influence with God. And it's so powerful. Prayer is practically the most powerful force in the universe. Do you know that even in the natural, the most powerful person, if you were able to identify the most powerful person on the planet, and you went to them saying, "Save me from my sins," no matter how willing they were, they could not do it. Because only He can save you from your sins. You could go to the most powerful person in the world on this planet and say, "Look, I've been diagnosed with this terminal disease. I need you to heal me." And no matter how willing they were, no matter the amount of money or influence they may have in this world, they can't do it. Prayer gives us access to the healer, the scripture says, of all our diseases, to the Savior of the soul, to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. One writer said, "Save me and I shall be saved. Heal me and I shall be healed." He knew where his hope and his help came from. And Psalms 34 and 15 tells us that the eyes of the Lord are open unto the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Peter substituted that. He quotes that scripture in his letter, but he substituted the word prayers for cry. It means the same thing. So God is listening. You have the ear of God as a child of God. Any parent knows that your child has your ear. When they cry out your name, "Mama, Daddy," you hear when they call. When they're asking you something, talking to you, they've got your attention. And if it's something that you can do to help them, to comfort them, to strengthen them, to instruct them, or even correct them, you will do so. They have access. They have influence with you. And I'm thankful tonight that God gives that benefit to His children. And so the psalmist said, "I love the Lord." There's so many reasons, but he's going to capitalize on something right here. "Because He has heard my voice." One of the many things I love about God is that I can talk to Him. And I know that He hears me. He says, he has heard my voice and He has heard my supplications. I have lifted up my needs unto Him. And because He has inclined His ear unto me, "since I know that I have the ear of God, I will call upon Him as long as I live." Why? He's so determined that this is the only source I need in my life for many, many things. If there's anything going on, there's nothing that God can't do. If I've got a situation, I can go to God and I can believe that God will come through. I can lift up my voice as His child and say, "Father, I need healing. Father, I need encouragement. Father, I need peace," and God will come through. Maybe that's why He told us, "Cast your care upon Him because He cares for you." Well, how do we cast our care upon Him? It's through our prayer. It's through those supplications. It's through that time that we find ourselves on our face, on our knees, with our hands lifted up and tears streaming down our face sometimes, that we are crying out to this most holy God because we know that we have His ear. Friend, prayer is not just some ritual. And prayer is not just some kind of tag that we, a hashtag that we add on to Christianity. But prayer is the most powerful force in the universe. When children get together and begin to pray, when two or three are gathered in his name and they begin to pray, when there's two or three that will touch and agree on anything, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Honey, I'm telling you, we got some influence with God. These things come from God. And I'm thankful for the power that God gives us through prayer. I'm thankful that we have influence with the most powerful being, entity, deity, however you want to define him. But there is nobody above him. There is no other God beside him. And he has given his children access to that. Think about that for a second. There's a lot of people that they find themselves and believe themselves very fortunate because maybe they have access to a politician or somebody that's high up in a business or the boss or the CEO, and they think, I've got some pull, I've got a connection because I've got the ear of the president of the company. But friend, when you've got the ear of God, now you're doing something. When you've got the ear of God, now some things can begin to happen in your life. And if we would not waste that resource, if we just would take advantage of this, and I'm not talking about abusing the privilege. I'm talking about if we would just take advantage of this opportunity that we have to spend time with God in prayer. Because we walk with God. He called us. Follow me. Walk with me. Take your cross up and go with me. We trust God. And we believe in him. But we also submit to God. We are in submission to God. But submission to God does not imply that we are powerless in the face of our circumstances. God is all powerful. He is the Almighty. And he can do all things and he can do everything. And he does all things well. But let me tell you, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I have influence. I am not powerless in the face of my circumstances. Jesus made a point to let us know, I have given you power over all the power of the enemy. And that's not your right hook. That's not your drop kick. Honey, that's your prayer. When you, if you want to take care of the enemy, go to prayer. Because as much as you'd like to, you can't wring his neck. As much as you'd like, we talk about give the devil a black eye. Well, you can't hit him, you can't punch him, kick him, slap him, you can't shoot him, you can't string him up, none of that. But you can go to the Almighty in prayer. You can go to the one who cast him out of heaven like lightning. You can go to the one that's going to send him off into that lake of fire one day. You can go with your voice to the Father. And then you can take that name that's above every name. And let me tell you, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. I know one day that's going to happen in the future. But I'm telling you right now that the devils believe in one God and they tremble. And when you begin speaking the name of Jesus, it's got to bow down. Honey, we've got some influence with God. We're his children. He didn't put us here. He knows what happened in the beginning. He knows how the serpent came and beguiled Eve and was very subtle and tricked his most perfect creation into disobeying him. But friend, let me tell you, he's not set us here to just be toys for the enemy, but he has given us power over all the power of the enemy. We're not ignorant of his devices. And friend, our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. And there is nothing that is more mighty than prayer to the King. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the King of the universe. There is none above him. There is none like him. There is none that can defeat him. And when we go to the one who's never lost, honey, just go ahead and bank it. You're about to win. We've got some influence with God. If we were to look back, I don't care how long you've been living for God, but if you were to just look back, you would probably most assuredly realize that how many situations that you could have influenced with your prayers, but you got distracted, lost your focus, and then you end up being defeated in a battle that should have been won. Sometimes we forget that we've got access to the one who's never lost. Sometimes we forget we've got access to the one who is a man of war. One man said, teach my hands to war. And we know we don't war in the natural, but he's talking in a spiritual sense. Teach me how to fight these spiritual battles. Teach me how to pull these strongholds down. Teach me how to cast these imaginations down. Teach me how to be more than a conqueror through you, O God. Well, I'm telling you, when you'll find yourself in a place of prayer, a lot of times people say, I don't know how to pray. Is there really a way to pray? Is there a formula? I know that Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer. I know we use that as an outline sometimes, but friend, when you start reading the prayers of people through the Scripture, I don't see anything. The common denominator is that they're praying to Him. And when you begin to call on His name in faith, believing, that's what I'm talking about. Because people have different ways of talking. Some people are more meek. Some people are more forceful. Some people are quiet. Some people are loud. Some people cry. Some people shout. But friend, when people start praying and calling on the name of the Lord, friend, something's going to happen. We've got some influence with this God that created us. You might be facing something right now, and it seems like it's out of your control. But it's never out of His control. I've said this many times. It may get out of your hand, but it's never out of His hand. He's always got it. And you have to realize, as His blood-bought, born-again, Spirit-filled child, that you have more influence with God than you think. You don't have influence on God. Influence on God suggests that you can force His hand. But you have influence with God because of who He is, because He is compassionate, because He is merciful, because He is long-suffering, because He is benevolent, because He is omniscient and omnipresent, because He is simply God who is love. Friend, because of all that He is, when He sees His child humble themselves and pray, He says, I will hear from heaven. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and then I'll begin to heal their land. Friend, He's telling us right there that God's children have influence with Him. If they would just begin to pray and seek His face, turn from the things that are unlike Him, great things begin to happen. When we war on the side of God, we can say, sun, stand still. Moon, stand still. And God will heed that and listen. And friend, He did it. It's in the book. I'm not out of the book. It's Scripture that Joshua could command these things to happen so they could defeat the enemy. God created the sun. God created the moon. Those are His creations. He set them in their orbits. But a man stood forth and said, stand still. And God listened to it. You and I have more influence than we realize with God. When I think about this, it gives me the picture of Esther the queen. How that when she had been married now to the king, she had not revealed that she was a Jew. But there was a man, Haman, who desperately hated the Jews and had made a plot to wipe them out and kill them. And when she found out about this, she went. They sent letters, said, you've got to go to the king. Mordecai told her, you've got to go to the king. She said, you don't just walk into this king. I could lose my life. He said, well, we're going to lose our life, and don't think you'll escape just because you're in the palace. Said that maybe you're put there for such a time as this. Maybe that's why you're there, to have some influence. And she walked in, and that king saw her, and instead of having her cast out, he took that golden scepter and he raised it up, and he said, what do you want? I'll give it whatever it is to the half of my kingdom. And she went through, I'm not going to go through the whole story, but Esther had influence with the king. The bride had influence with the king. The bride has influence with the king. And we can go before him. And you say, well, that's just a story. That's out of the Old Testament. That was for the Jews. But listen what it says for us, the church in the New Testament. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, for this reason, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Honey, I'm telling you, he put it in the book, and his words forever settled in heaven. The church has access to the King. We can come boldly before the throne and find help in our time of need. We've got influence with God. You ought to clap your hands to him right now and thank him. Praise God. I ain't just talking about fixing your car or getting your check through the mail. I'm talking about God can fix what's broke that can't no man fix. He can fix your broken heart. He can fix your broken spirit. He can wash away your sin. He can put joy back. He can give you beauty for ashes and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I'm talking about God that makes all things new. That's the God I'm talking about. That's who you've got influence with. My world's being shaken. I'm being turned upside down. Go to the one you've got influence with. You can come to me. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray with you. But it's God that does the work. Praise God. Don't you love him? Aren't you thankful? You ought to give him another shout and another hand clap in this house tonight. He's not a high priest that can't be touched. He's not aloof of us. He's not sitting back somewhere. No, keep him out. Just keep him away. But he's right there because he went through it too. He knows what it's like to suffer. He knows what it's like to be abused. He knows what it's like to be forsaken. He knows what it's like to be mocked. He knows what it's like to be killed, to be done away with. He knows what it's like, but he also knows what it's like to come forth, to rise up, to be victorious. And that's what he's given us through this access with him. And it's always been like that. God's people that he's in covenant with have always had influence with him. One of the greatest stories, you read over it and you never think about it. You probably never even think about it like this. Too often we worry about worrying God. I don't want to offend him by coming to him, you know, I don't want to mess with him. But God had a man in the beginning that he was in covenant with. His name was Abram. He said, Abram, get up and get out of your country. Go to the place that I tell you of, because I'm going to make a great nation and people out of you. And Abram got up and obeyed the voice of this God. And he began to walk with God from that point. And God led him and took him and blessed him. And Abram took some of his family with him. And he had a young man by the name of Lot that was with him. But God was blessing them. Their flocks were growing and everything was multiplying. And the land was becoming full. And they were starting to fight because of where they were. And so Abraham told Lot, he said, hey, he said, here's the land. Ain't no reason for us to fight. He said, if you go that way, I'll go this way. If you go this way, I'll go that way. Just let's don't fight. Let's make a decision. So Lot chose to go to the twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He should have thought about that. And so now God decides that because he has seen the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah, he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But he said, let me just read what he said about Abraham in Genesis 18 and 17. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I'm about to do? He was fixing to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, should I do that, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation? All the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice, judgment, and the Lord, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And so when he tells Abraham, this is what I'm going to do, what does Abraham do? In verse 22, it says, Abraham stood yet before the Lord. God said, Abraham, I'm going to destroy this city. I'm going to burn these cities up. It's going to happen. My mind's made up. This is going to come to pass. And Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Now, the Lord had appeared to Abraham in a form, and he stood before him. He was not trying to stand against him. Don't get it wrong. Because when God makes up his mind to do something, it's going to be done. For you or I to try to withstand God would be like us trying to go to the beach and keep the ocean from hitting the seashore. It ain't going to happen. You can't do it. It's impossible. And Abraham was not trying to withstand God. He is reasoning with God. He is interceding. And it is because that he is standing there. He does this because he's like the psalmist. Because I know I have God's ear. And since I know I have his ear, I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to cast my care upon him. I've been with him. He's walked with me. He's talked with me. He's told me things. I've seen his mercy and his grace. I know what he can do. So I'm going to talk to God. And in verse 23, Abraham drew near and said, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? He begins to talk to God. And he says, what if there's 50 righteous within the city? Will you destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That it be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, I will spare all the place for their sake. He never mentions this until Abraham mentions it. You've got influence with God. But Abraham says, well, he's going to do this six times. Six times he's going to keep coming back to God. So he says, well, what about for a lack of five? If I find, and the Lord said, if I find 40 and five, I won't destroy it. Then he says in verse 29, what if there's 40? And the Lord said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said, oh, okay, Lord, don't be angry. I'm just going to speak. What if there are 30? He said, I won't do it. I won't destroy it if I find 30. He said, okay, I've taken it upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20. He said, I will not destroy it for 20. And he says, Lord, don't be angry. I will speak, but this one more time. What if there shall be 10? He said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. Six times Abraham comes to God, changing the deal, changing the deal, changing the deal. And each time God says, okay, all right. Because it wasn't just that he knew God. God knew Abraham. And Abraham had influence with God. Six requests and six times God agrees. And in verse 33 it says, the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. The word communing means this: to speak, to answer, to promise, and to teach. And every time God spoke to Abraham, or Abraham would make that request, God would speak, but he wasn't just saying words in the air. He was giving him an answer. He was giving him a promise. And every time he was teaching Abraham about his mercy, about his grace, about his long-suffering, every time God spoke, it was an answer, it was a promise, and it was a teaching moment for Abraham. Abraham learning how God is, and learning also, I have influence with God. That God cares about what I care about. God is concerned about what I'm concerned about. That's why we say, be careful for nothing, but in all things, bring it with prayers, thanksgiving, be thankful and pray about it. We know what it feels like. This situation is out of Abraham's control. God's already said, this is what's going to happen. So all I can do, you know, sometimes people don't even like you to say, well, all you can do is pray. Man, that's all I need to do. All you can do is pray. Best solution I know of, because God will make a way. God is faithful to his children. Prayer really does work. It does. We've got to stop thinking about prayer as an accessory to Christianity and realize that it is a necessity in our life and in our walk with God. That's how we see what we want to see in the kingdom. That's how we see his kingdom come, his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And sometimes things that we can't comprehend, we can't control, no matter despite our best efforts, we find ourselves, as one man said, at our wit's end. But you know, in that scripture, in that psalm where he said they were in these ships and they were tossed in the storm, up and down and reeling and rocking and the water coming in, and it said they were at their wit's end. There was nothing left they could do. Then they cried unto the Lord and he calmed. Influence with God. Moses, in Exodus 32, God is fed up with Israel and tells Moses, step back, I'm going to destroy them. But Moses steps in and stands before the Lord and intercedes on the behalf of Israel, and God does not wipe them out and destroy them. In Isaiah 38, Isaiah the prophet goes to Hezekiah and says, Hezekiah, get your house in order, for the Lord has said, you will surely die. And Hezekiah turns his face to the wall and begins to pray and weep and talk to God. And the Lord says, I have heard your prayers and seen your tears. And he sends Isaiah back to the house and tell him, God has heard you, he has seen you, and he is going to give you 15 more years of life. Influence with God. One of the greatest stories in Scripture, the birth of Samuel, in 1 Samuel 1 and 27, his mother says, for this child I prayed. She was barren. She desperately wanted a child. And she stood in the house of the Lord and said that she moved her lips, but she made no sound, for she was praying in her heart. But she was talking to God about this child. She desperately wanted what other women had. She desperately wanted a family. And she finally, the priest told her, go your way. God has heard your petition. And she had that child, and she brought him back to lend him to the Lord. But what I want you to understand is that God sees you when it looks like you've got nothing. But it seems like it hasn't worked. How many times did she try to conceive a child with her husband? And it month after month after month, disappointment after disappointment, it seemed like nothing was working. But when she went to the house of God and prayed, and when God saw the humility of her heart and the earnest of her heart, he gave her her desires. Influence with God gave her this great prophet, the one who anointed Saul, the one who anointed David, this Samuel. That's who he put in the world because of her prayers. What could God add to the world? What could God add to the kingdom if you would pray? What could you influence in your life, in your circle, on your job, on your campus, in your home, if you would simply learn to trust and pray? Oh, my goodness, influence that we have with God. Don't you know he loves you? Don't you know he cares? Don't you know he's concerned about you? Let's give him an opportunity to do what he would love to do. Let's let him be the father that he wants to be. He told us one place, he said, if you want it just plain, you have not because you ask not. Sometimes I think we prayed. Sometimes I think we just thought. Sometimes maybe we intended to pray. And I think sometimes it's almost like, when people, I've said this before, sometimes people send you a text, says, hey, got this going on, give me a prayer, and you give them a thumbs up, or you give them the little... But that's not prayer. You know, and the intention is to let them know, yes, I'm going to pray about it. But then you go back to school work or driving or work, whatever you're doing, and you forget. And I think sometimes we know we need to pray, and we do a mental praying hand emoji goes off in our brain, and we think we've prayed. We listen to a good gospel song, and we think we prayed. Prayer is powerful. We have influence with God. You've got influence. So he's a high priest. And he's touched with the feeling about the one that hung on that cross, his life leaving his body. Father, forgive him. And that one, that 3 days later, he come walking out of that tomb, defeated death, hell, the grave, victory, a risen Savior, the power of our faith. And you've got influence with him. You've got an in with the Savior. He has filled you with his Spirit. And the Bible says, without the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. But when we receive the Spirit, it's the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And we are baptized in the one body by one Spirit. We're the body of Christ, the bride. We're that's who we are. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And all we've got to do is say, Father. You know, in natural, people, kids get raised, and maybe they have a father who's absent. They ask for something, he doesn't answer, or he doesn't provide, or he just disappears, and he never talks to them. And maybe that gets in their brain, and they think nobody listens, nobody cares. But our Heavenly Father's not like that. He said, a nursing mother can forget her child, but I will not forget you. And so you've got to trust that this Father is listening, and that this Father cares, and that this Father will provide. And I know I'm running out of time. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus spoke a parable. In verse 2, he said, there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. He would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? He said, God is ready to act, but will people pray? But will he find faith? He'll do it. Jesus simply told his disciples in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. He had cursed a fig tree and it was withered up, and they saw it the next day and were just awestruck by this sight. Master, this tree that you cursed is already withered up. And he simply said, have faith in God. He was telling them, you'll have influence with God. Have faith in him, and you can say to this mountain, be cast into the sea. You can do things. You can believe it and you'll have it. You can ask and it'll be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be open. Influence with God. And honey, you can come to the mute, whoever's playing. That honey, okay. Honey George, come on, brother. John 15:7. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Man, that's influence. That's a great promise. If you abide in me, if you'll stick with him, another great reason to not walk away from God If you'll abide in him, and his words will abide in you.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.